Welcome to the Fantasy Football Today podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. Good morning.
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 What's up?
How are you?
I tripled my money in FanDuel.
What?
$3.
$15?
Played a $1 game, including the Thursday Nighters. Made $3, baby.
Nice.
That's what I'm talking about. I'll tell you more about FanDuel in a little bit. On bye this week, the Giants and the Niners. We're doing waiver wire today. It is Tuesday, October 21st. Make sure you watch Fantasy Football Today, our video show. We'll break down even more waiver wire guys for you if we miss anyone here. And we have fun on that show, and we take your phone calls, so you know, tune in. Who are you prioritizing, Dave?
Trey Mason.
Jamie?
Bryce Brown.
Adam? One of those guys. Not Denard Robinson. That's the one I...
Yeah.
You mean you don't trust a Jaguars running back?
I'll put him on my list in case I don't get the other two, but would you say those other two are much more attractive for fantasy owners than than Robinson?
I'm not. I don't love Bryce Brown.
I don't love Zach's Trey Mason.
Okay, that's interesting. Dave, why don't you love Bryce Brown?
Because I don't think he's going to be the full-time guy. We've seen him before. No, he won't, because they still have Anthony Dixon, and he's been playing for longer. And I know Anthony Dixon's a slug, but we'll see how much. I'm not saying he's not going to get any work. I don't think he's going to be what we hoped C.J. Spiller would be. Is that fair to say?
Okay. Well, yeah. Sure. Why was he inactive all this time?
You'd have to ask his coaches that, but my guess is that he was the fourth best running back on that team.
And, Jamie, why don't you love Trey Mason?
How often are they going to be playing with the lead? You heard what Jeff Fisher said yesterday. Think about what has happened for Seattle.
I didn't hear what Jeff Fisher said.
He said that don't be surprised if Zach Stacy gets 25 carries this week. Now, that's not going to happen.
He's a liar.
Clearly. But I wonder if Stacy was actually really hurt.
For the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be still a committee there. He doesn't catch passes, at least not yet. And I don't think we gave enough credit to Bobby Wagner not being active for the Seahawks. And how bad that run defense was.
Well,
that's for sure.
Even
but
still, you're talking about what was one of the best run defenses.
Yep.
It was. Key word being was.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like he takes on the Seahawks again this week and Bobby Wagner's playing and then he's going to get slammed.
So right. He's facing a defense that actually I think is better than what Seattle was last week.
Here's my question. Could Bryce Brown or Trey Mason be must-starts rest of season and potentially win people fantasy?
I like Bryce Brown much better this week than I do Trey Mason, based on their respective matchups and their respective scenarios.
He's taking on
but
the
I'm
Jets.
Talking, but I'm talking
and have
about
the Jets done the last 3 weeks.
Against teams that have put the ball in the air a lot, not well. But that's when they were daring teams to run on them. I don't think they're going to do that against
but Mike, I was asking rest of season, how much...
Well, Bryce Brown's got a four-week window at three games because the Bills' bye is in there. So right. you have to understand that. But I don't know what Trey Mason's window is either. I don't think... Look, you pick up Trey Mason. I don't want to downgrade Trey Mason. But I think if I have the choice to pick up who I'm picking up first on waivers, it's Bryce Brown. Because I do think that Trey Mason's going to face a little bit more of a bumpy road in that four-week window.
Do you think we could be looking at this year's Zach Stacy with either of these two guys? It's kind of funny to say that since he's now in competition with Trey Mason.
I don't think so. I don't think either one can be that guy and certainly that reliable. I don't know if either one's really going to have the opportunity to. I know Mason had 18 carries. Jamie did say, how often are the Rams going to be playing with a lead? They might this week against Kansas City. They probably won't be the following week at San Francisco or the week after that at Arizona or the week after that home against Denver. And then even after that at San Diego, certainly no sure thing. But we could still see Mason get involved to the point where he's at 14 carries a week and he's a little slippery. He can make some plays out there. Maybe he catches the ball a little bit more than the one catch he has in two games so far.
Trey Mason's schedule. Now, it's really hard to say what defenses are going to look like weeks from now. But as of now, the Rams running backs, they are facing only two opponents that currently rank below 13th in fantasy points allowed to running backs. And that's Oakland and the Giants. And the Giants are in week 16 and Oakland is in week 13. But it's tough. I mean, it's Kansas City and San Francisco and Arizona the next 3 weeks, and they're all top six. Now, if San Francisco's three linebackers are still out at that point, and it probably won't be with the Alden Smith news, and hopefully Patrick Willis comes back after the bye.
Yeah, that changes everything.
It does change everything, but again, on paper, it looks kind of tough. Yeah, and, you know, obviously you say Trey Mason's not going to be playing with the lead a lot. That he could still get 12 carries, right?
He's going to be good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't want to, you know, be Debbie Downer on Trey Mason. I just think that Buffalo is a run-committed team, first and foremost. St. Louis is a run-committed team. But looking at it, I don't think Anthony Dixon's role changes. He's going to get a couple more carries. He's going to work at the goal line. He's going to play on special teams, which is why he's been active ahead of Bryce Brown. Bryce Brown doesn't play special teams.
But he's going to work at the goal line.
It's the same brand. Yes, he's going to have the touchdown potential. But Bryce Brown, think about what he was in Philadelphia. He had some electric moments. He had some duds. He's basically going to be what C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson potentially could have been.
Okay.
If there was one guy.
We'll get into the running backs in a little bit. Now, could Doug Baldwin be this year's Keenan Allen?
Yes.
You got to figure it that way. Although part of it has to do with the fact that Seattle was playing from behind.
Season high in pass attempts.
And I just don't know how often that's going to be the case for the Seahawks.
All right.
But this is a receiver that I liked a lot this offseason. Had him on my deep sleeper list, and he just got off to a real cold start.
He was miscast.
What do you mean he was miscast?
He's not Golden Tate, and they try to force him into being a slot receiver.
Okay. So now if he's going to stick on the outside, and we know he's going to play. We know there's going to be a good amount of targets each week. It was a surprising game for a lot of reasons, Seattle at St. Louis last yeah. week. Very surprising.
How much
did not go the way we thought it would.
How much of your budget, let's say you have $50 left and Baldwin's out there, how much?
How badly do I need a receiver?
Yeah, you can use one.
Use him as a flex.
Is it a PPR league or a standard league then?
Give me both.
It's going to be like $5 standard, $8 or $9 PPR.
He should be the most added receiver.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a receiver that's better than
Well,
Baldwin
Jamie
this
has
week,
him ahead of Odell Beckham.
Well,
is that because of the bye?
Twofold. It's because of the bye. And look, I'd rather have the number one guy for Seattle than the number two guy for the Giants.
Stat of the day, number one. Since I've been on this whole Jacksonville's run defense thing.
Go ahead.
2.86 yards per carry over their last four games. That's what they're allowing, 2.86 yards per carry. But how much does Paul Posluszny being out for the year, their leading tackler,
huge
effect?
Hit.
Yeah,
huge.
That's huge. You know, that's
hit.
Annoying because I really wanted to grab hold of this Jacksonville's defense is better thing.
Two of those games were against San Diego and Tennessee. Everybody is very familiar with Tennessee's run game and just how dreadful that's become. And San Diego's run game started with Donald Brown, Mr. 2.0, and then Brandon Oliver got in there and didn't do much in that game. The other two games were against Pittsburgh. They did very well against Jacksonville. And then Cleveland last week, they bottled up the Browns. That was a very impressive game. And then Posluszny got hurt.
So we're not afraid of Lamar Miller, though.
Oh, no, I'm still starting Lamar Miller.
Email of the day, number one, comes from James. Where is he from?
James is from Atlanta, Georgia.
I have Seattle's DST. They're awful this year. Should I drop them and pick up a free agent like Dallas, Green Bay, Baltimore, Miami, San Francisco?
Yeah.
Who do you like?
Give me a list again.
Dallas, Green Bay, Baltimore, Miami, and San Francisco.
I like Dallas better this week.
I like Dallas a lot this week, too.
So Seattle's defense droppable?
Well, I am a Seahawks owner in a 10-team league. And
are you still a Seahawks owner?
I'll see what happens. The waivers in this league don't run until Wednesday. It's Fab dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So I will see what I need to do to enhance my team. And if I think I can, it's very, very deep roster, so I may be able to stash two DSTs. But I think they're going to be good this week, though. Seattle.
Against Carolina, yeah.
I mean, it's just such a poor matchup for Carolina because front-on-front still favors Seattle, especially if Wagner can get back.
But one thing, they're just two things. They're not sacking the quarterback, and they're not picking off passes. Last year they had, what, like
or defending
almost
punts.
30 picks. Yeah, right. Special teams. They have 7 sacks this year and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same.
Email of the day number two is from Colin in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dear Fantasy Brain Trust, someone needing to win now has dropped Rashad Jennings. Should I drop Monte Ball for Rashad Jennings?
Yes.
What do you think happens in the Denver backfield?
I think Ronnie Hillman will still be the guy when Ball comes back. Think about what Ball did before he got hurt. What has Ronnie Hillman done in two games? You took the words right out of my mouth.
It's also opponent, though.
San Francisco. He scored two touchdowns.
San Francisco.
Against
San Francisco. It was like
that's a skeleton crew. I had the most layup bold prediction on Sunday that statistically looked like it was not going to be a layup, but it was a layup. That Ronnie Holmes is going to be the first guy to get double digit fantasy points against the San Francisco 49ers since DeMarco Murray.
You also predicted that Peyton would break the record in the first half.
Yeah, that was the easy one, too.
You know what? I knew that. I should have said it. I knew that game was going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
I just knew that Peyton Manning was going to go nuts. All right. So you say Rashad Jennings. Jamie, you say?
I don't mind it. It's funny because I when I did the list of players to drop, Monte Ball was originally on it. And I keep saying to myself, it's the same question that we ask all the time. If you see Monte Ball on waivers, would you pick him up?
Yeah, I don't know how quick I'd be now.
But see, in that scenario, though, if Rashad Jennings is on waivers, players like that are going to be on waivers. So it's fine.
You think Ronnie Hillman's
in
value
in a 12-team league, if Monte Ball's on waivers, anybody's picking him up?
Is Ronnie Hillman's value at his peak?
I don't think so. I think it could get even higher.
Is Ronnie Hillman's value? Yeah, because when Ball comes back, they're still going to give Ball carries. He's not going to be CJ Anderson.
I don't know how many he's going to get.
But he's not going to be CJ Anderson and just be, okay, you're done.
Tweet of the day, number one, is from Rolando Cruz. Reggie Wayne or Doug Baldwin rest of season?
Reggie Wayne's hurt, so I'd rather take Doug Baldwin. Mm-hmm. Reggie Wayne's not going to play for 2 weeks.
Tweet of the day, number two, from Eric Jacinto. Who's a better waiver claim, Trey Mason, Robinson, or Dixon, or Bryce Brown? And I should have not read this one since we've already answered it. So
hit the rewind button.
Injuries, news, and notes presented by Squarespace. All right, Fred Jackson could be out a month with a groin injury, and C.J. Spiller broke his collarbone and underwent surgery, so you can drop C.J. Spiller, and they're at the Jets this week.
Good advice.
Trent Richardson downplayed his hamstring injury. At
Hashtag Hazler, fantasy tips. Remember that?
Broken collarbone / surgery equals drop. Hashtag Hazler fantasy tips. You guys think Richardson plays this week at Pittsburgh?
Probably, but you're going to have to just keep an eye on it.
He's really not playing very poorly right now. I mean, that's a ringing endorsement.
I said this to Dave the other day that he's going to end up as a top 24 running back. If he just stays, and this was prior to the game, but I said, if he just stays healthy and just keeps plugging along, doing what he's doing, touchdown every couple games, 60, 70 yards, he's gonna have Chris Johnson numbers by the end, not top 10, but just right inside, like somewhere 20 to 24. No one's ever going to start him with any confidence unless Ahmad Bradshaw gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were starting Fred Jackson, I think you can start Trent Richardson. I mean, isn't it kind of a similar,
very similar.
You get 10,
yep.
10 to 12 carry, whatever yep. it is. He's also getting some catches.
He's playing very well.
Yeah,
I think it was one of our producers, Mike Friedman, looked at his scores on Sunday and said, Trent Richardson's got me 15
right,
points.
Right,
and yeah. like, what?
A.J. Green's making progress. He's facing Baltimore this week. You think he plays?
I think he plays.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson won't play this week unless he is full go, and he's at Atlanta in London. And this is a 9:30 a.m. Eastern time game.
What a disaster.
So, you know, you got to check what your league settings are. You might have to set your entire Sunday roster by 9:30.
There's nothing wrong with afternoon football in London.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, it's annoying.
It's going to be annoying.
Washington's going to start either Colt McCoy or RG3 this week at Dallas.
It looks like it's going to be Colt McCoy. I think it'll take
it's
100% quite a bit.
Colt McCoy.
Yeah, I don't think RG3 is going to be ready.
Pierre Thomas has a shoulder injury. They have Green Bay on Sunday
He's
night.
He's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks with that.
James Starks left with an ankle injury.
That would be good news if it's serious for Eddie Lacy. I do not know if it's serious or not.
San Francisco lost its center, Daniel Kilgore, for the season with a broken leg. They have a bye, but what does that mean for Frank Gore? Am I wrong?
They have a bye.
You have a look on your face, Dave, like I'm wrong.
Kilgore's out.
Yeah.
Okay. What does it mean for Frank Gore?
It means he's going to continue to struggle. I mean, look, he's not playing well. He's not getting a lot of touches. It's not been a consistent season for him. I think when they have good matchups, you'll be okay starting him if we get an idea of how he's going to look and how they're going to use – what's his name? Carlos Hyde.
That's what he's turned into.
I wouldn't be surprised if they come out of their bye week with Hyde getting more work. Why not?
Okay. Brian Arakpo, Washington linebacker, out for the season with a torn pectoral muscle. You can drop the – Redskins defense, Azer fantasy tip. Cleveland is sticking with Brian Hoyer. They've got Oakland. Jacksonville's Paul Posluszny out for the year, as mentioned. St. Louis waived Austin Pettis, their wide receiver. Rashad Jennings hoping to return in week 9. So they have a bye this week, then Indianapolis on Monday night. Jake Locker expected to return this week. He faces Houston. Good news
They're hoping he returns. They're hoping.
Good news for Kendall Wright?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Houston kind of stinks.
It's probably better news for Delaney.
Okay.
Who stopped
last week.
Yeah,
well, we could use that.
Yeah.
Do you expect Tommy Gerhardt against Miami?
Who cares?
No. Denard Robinson owners care.
He's not going to play.
Potential Denard Robinson owners.
I don't think he's going to play.
Eric Ebron.
No.
Ryan Matthews.
No.
Monte Ball.
No.
That game's Thursday, San Diego, Denver.
On what network?
Is it the last CBS game?
It is.
All right. It's on CBS.
And NFL Network. But
Director of Marketing.
CBS.
Dave Richard. Reminder, today's podcast is brought to you by Dave.
What?
What's it brought to you by?
What's
now you're the director of sales. It's brought to you by Squarespace. Awesome.
Oh, you mean the place you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio.
That place. An awesome, awesome platform to create your website. A lot of fun to use. Just get in there and start working on it now because it's cheap. It starts at $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. If you hit a snag, run into any issues, Squarespace is incredibly easy to use and has an amazing support team that works 24 hours a day and 7 days a week.
Now, Adam, say I wanted my website to look good on a mobile device or a tablet.
You can.
Will Squarespace take care of me?
Absolutely, and that's important because
it is.
A lot of people don't even go to websites on their computers anymore. They use their phones. So whatever it is, your mobile experience is going to match the overall style of your website. Your content's going to look great on every device, every time.
Do I need a credit card to start a free trial?
No, you don't need a credit card, Dave, to start a free trial or a twile. And if you use the offer code FUN, you get 10% off. So go to squarespace.com right now. Use that offer code. Show your support for our show. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. And all kidding aside, is really awesome, and I recommend it. Pittsburgh 30, Houston 23. We'll get to the waiver wire after we break down Monday Night Football. Felt like Ben Roethlisberger had an awesome game. He only scored 20 fantasy points.
Should have had three touchdowns.
Yeah, he
nearly had three touchdowns.
That defense is miserable.
Which one?
The Texans.
Yes. The answer is yes. They are both bad. But
Pittsburgh's defense played well, all things considered.
Well, they,
only
they
because they got
going.
The turnovers.
I mean, they were good.
Missing?
Yeah, but they stink.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. All things considered, for how they played, how they showed up last night was very good. This is what I thought Roethlisberger was going to do against this defense because it's very bad. He's playing at home. Next week's going to be telling because he's playing at home. Again, another must-win situation in a conference opponent that they're chasing, whether it's division, wild card, however you want to frame it. They're not going to keep up with the Colts because the Colts will win their division and the Steelers are going to be chasing other teams. But they're looking up at the Colts, trying to be where the Colts are. And that's a much better defense. And Roethlisberger's going to struggle in that game.
Now, this was a good fantasy game. The Stars basically did what they were supposed to do. Andre Johnson, 5 for 77. DeAndre Hopkins, 6 for 108 with a fumble.
Yeah, I love you say the Stars do what they're supposed to do, and then you go right to Andre Johnson, who delivers 77 yards.
Which is what he does. But I just mean, like,
it
was a predictable fantasy game for the most part. So any takeaways here?
Well, Lance Moore. Big touchdown. No.
Martavis Bryant.
Martavis Bryant is going to be eyeballed for sure off of waivers because Roethlisberger needs that second receiver. We thought it would be Wheaton. Guess who didn't have a catch? Wheaton. Mm-hmm. Guess who had a touchdown? Bryant. So maybe there will be an opportunity for him.
Never let
me
guess.
Okay, I'll name another player. You tell me if they scored or not. Heath Miller.
No, he didn't score.
You're
scored
good.
One fantasy point is what he scored.
Yeah. You could look at Bryant off waivers, deeper leagues, sure.
And the quarterbacks to look at off waivers this week. And I never know if I should say on waivers or off waivers.
You would get them off waivers, but currently, if they're a free agent, then they are on waivers. So they are quarterbacks on waivers.
I accept. Priority list for Jamie. Add them in this order. Ryan Tannehill, if you heard our awesome Sunday night show. You heard my awesome math. He's averaging 24 fantasy points in his last three games without throwing more than 32 passes. He's kind of got this Tony Romo thing going where twice this year Tannehill's thrown a lot of passes over 40, and he had his two worst games. And four times he's thrown 32 pass attempts or fewer, and he's had his four best games. So anyway, at Jacksonville, San Diego, at Detroit, Buffalo, his immediate schedule isn't like off the charts great, but what do you guys expect from Tannehill going forward?
He's got Jacksonville this week. I would say that that's pretty
and
good.
Then, but then after that, it's not off the charts great. In fact, Detroit's the best in the business against quarterbacks.
Quarterback and tight end are the most week-to-week position you play off waivers outside of kicker and DST.
Right, and I would pick him up for this week if I don't love my quarterback choices already on my roster, or if my quarterback's on bye. We've got Kaepernick on bye. We've got Eli on bye. And then I might hang on to him after the bye week just to see what happens.
So, Tannehill,
I'd rather have them than Matt Ryan at this point.
Yeah.
I would definitely rather have him than Matt Ryan for this week.
How about Roethlisberger or Tannehill?
Yeah, Tannehill. Tannehill's in my top 12.
The other guys are a little more speculative. RG3 probably won't play this week. Johnny Manziel, not going to start this week. Kyle Orton, who's, you know, been solid. Alex Smith, who has St. Louis this week, and then the Jets. Geno Smith, who has Buffalo, Mike Glennon, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Teddy Bridgewater. RG3, what could he do this year, Jamie?
Well, I think you can get some good games. You can get some bad games. He could be Kirk Cousins, you know, essentially. Some turnovers, some touchdowns, a little more running, a little less throwing. We'll see how he does. It's a risk. But it should be a calculated risk for some fantasy owners at this point that have some bad quarterback situations. Ryan is one. Stafford is one without Calvin Johnson. Andy Dalton is one without A.J. Green. Hopefully those guys come back and you feel okay with those quarterbacks, but Ryan's not getting an offensive line anytime soon. Roethlisberger's been up and down.
Yeah.
So
Cam's
been up and down.
I can't put him on my roster in a 12-team league unless I've just got a huge bench.
Totally,
like, I've got him stashed in our 20-team office league.
Mm-hmm.
I've got no problem with that. I'll just wait for him to do something. He'll come back. Hopefully he'll be Tony Romo's bye week replacement. If not, I might actually cut him for whoever that'll end up being. But in my typical 10- or 12-team league, I can't wait for RG3.
I just want to add one thing on RG3. If it plays out and he ends up being really good and you can stash him, weeks 14, 15, and 16, which are the playoffs for most owners, St. Louis at the Giants, which might not be a good matchup, and then Philadelphia in week 16. So you got two of the worst there against opposing quarterbacks, St. Louis in 14 and Philadelphia in 16. Anybody else on this list you want to talk about?
Manziel's in the same boat. Why not?
Okay.
Who do you like this week between Orton and Alex Smith?
Oh, I can never trust Alex Smith. What we got last week is what you're going to get from Alex Smith.
More times than not,
yeah.
Even though he's got St. Louis at home?
Yeah, that's a perfect matchup for Jamal Charles to go nuts.
What about Joe Flacco? What do you guys think about him? He's got Cincinnati on the road this week. He scored 17 fantasy points against Cincinnati in week
His
one.
Next two games are on the road, are they not?
Yeah, Pittsburgh after Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm not taking any more chances on Flacco. I know last week he came through with mild fantasy numbers, not great fantasy numbers. And it's more and more looking like the game against Tampa Bay was a flash in the pan.
Austin Davis, Colt McCoy, two quarterback leagues. Who would you prefer? Davis has Kansas City on the road, and Colt McCoy has Dallas on the road.
I'll take my chances with Davis.
Let's look at running backs. Here's the priority list. Bryce Brown, this is according to Jamie. Bryce Brown 1, Trey Mason 2. I know you like Mason better than Brown, Dave, but is Brown number 2 for you ahead of Denard Robinson, Travaris Cadet, etc.?
Probably. And the one nice thing about Bryce Brown is that because he's more like C.J. Spiller than Fred Jackson, when Jackson comes back, if Brown does a nice job, I don't see Buffalo putting him back on the inactive list each week. They'll carry three running backs. Spiller's done. Dixon will be there. And Dixon will be the backup to Jackson. And Bryce Brown can continue on in the Spiller role. So he's going to get opportunities. It's just a matter of what he does with them. And if he's even going to get to 15 carries a week.
What do you expect from the Jacksonville running backs going forward?
I was stunned to see Denard Robinson do as well as he did against Cleveland. I don't know if he'll have a game that good again the rest of the way.
Cleveland's really bad against running backs.
Yeah, which is surprising. It's very surprising. I mean, but then again, their defensive line's a little banged up. I suspect he'll have a harder time against Miami, against Cincinnati, against Dallas. Yeah, he's not second for me. He may not even be third for me, because if I'm desperate for a back, I might go for Dixon over Robinson. Or if I need to handcuff DeMarco Murray, I know Joseph Randall's still out there.
In a PPR league, would you take Denard Robinson or Travaris Cadet? You need to win now.
Cadet.
For the matchup this week, it's Cadet.
Is he a must-add in PPR leagues?
I'd say so. Mm-hmm. With Pierre Thomas out. Man, this is the guy that Sean Payton said at the owners' meeting would replace Sproles. And now he's kind of been doing that. And
six
catches. I think he could get more than that this week.
Yeah, I mean, six catches with Pierre Thomas healthy for part of that game.
Yeah,
so.
You already know which game you're giving the B word to, right? It's that one.
Yeah.
That game's not going to be 17-14.
I skipped a week. That's so weak.
Which one in your mind?
I don't know.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think you really got to feel it in your heart.
Yeah. I don't know, because I guess I would have said Denver, but see, with Denver, San Francisco, and Dallas, New York, I thought they would be blowouts. So I thought there'd be a lot of points, but I thought it'd be mostly from one team. Giants-Cowboys ended up being a pretty good fantasy game.
Well, that was the one you were leaning toward, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I thought he was leaning toward making that one the Beniner.
All right, so Saints-Packers, bonanza. Can you believe Drew Brees only had 24 fantasy points, by the way, on a quick aside?
Yeah, he was 260 and two at the half.
Right? I mean, it looked like he was about to have like a 40-point week. All right, sorry. Anyway, Travaris Cadet, Jonathan Stewart, Joseph Randall, Stephon Taylor, Anthony Dixon. If I want touchdowns, do I want Stephon Taylor or Anthony Dixon?
Taylor. Proven.
Rest of the season, it's Taylor.
Right now, it's Taylor, too.
Who? And then we got Benny Cunningham, right. Storm Johnson, Jonas Gray, Charles Sims, Chris Polk. So who could you see? And let's just throw Brandon Bolden in the mix, too.
Why? Let's throw him in, and now let's take him back out.
Okay. Here's what I want to say about the Patriots. The time of possession in that game might have been the most lopsided of the season. I can't recall seeing one that was more lopsided. The Jets had the ball for almost 41 minutes, and the Patriots didn't really run the ball. Vereen had 11 carries. So
it's a fair point.
Because they're so unpredictable week to week, and you know the Jets can't cover the pass at all, what do they do going forward on the ground?
For example, this week against Chicago, a team that's been bad against the run, but they've been bad against everything.
They're just bad, yeah.
They're just a bad defense, so they're probably going to do whatever they want. I still think you're going to see Vereen get a hefty majority of snaps. It's going to be way more than 60%.
Well, it's obviously a top-heavy list of running backs to add.
They like Gray. It's obvious now.
No, I just mean the waiver wires with Brown, Mason, Denard Robinson, Cadet, top heavy.
You'd say it's obvious?
I would say it's obvious.
Yeah, because like after that, I mean, these guys are situational. You're not adding Storm Johnson or Benny Cunningham and throwing him in your starting lineup.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know, you're talking 14, 16 team leagues. I probably should explain it more in the column, but I run the gamut of, you know, where you're looking at, because if for whatever reason somebody drops Storm Johnson in a 14 or 16 team league and you just lost Fred Jackson, why not take a gamble on him if he's like, if it's him or Brandon Bolden, you'd rather have him.
That's what I was going to ask you to do. Just kind of put it in perspective of what you're looking at with some of these guys. So like Cunningham, Jonas Gray, Charles Sims, Chris Polk. Were these lottery tickets? Are these just deep league depth?
Well, Cunningham, I mean, look, he's been scoring touchdowns. So I don't think Trey Mason's working at the goal line.
He's going to be their passing downs guy.
Exactly.
And potentially, he could be like Fred Jackson. Mason might still work at the goal line too. He just didn't. Last week.
What do you think about Jonathan Stewart against Seattle this week?
It's okay. What did he give you, like six fantasy points last week?
Yeah.
So he might get you to seven. Let's see if Bobby Wagner plays. That offensive line's banged up, by the way.
What are you doing with Bishop Sankey at this point?
I'm going to write him a letter, and it's going to read the following. Dear Bishop Sankey, you were a great running back in college, and you ended up on the right team, but your coach is a nut bar, and I'm sorry that your career will be pathetic.
I don't know if I agree with your sentiment. He's had 18 carries and 16 carries in his last
two games. How many fantasy points do you get for carries in your league?
What I'm saying is I don't agree with your coach is a nut bar thing, because he's gotten the
work. The coach is a nut bar. It took him too long to finally go to him. And then when he finally went to him, he didn't give him as many duties as we had hoped. And now he's disappointed in him all over again.
And then he gave us a duty.
Oh, did he ever.
But here's the thing about Sankey. If you want to make the case for him, the last two opponents, Washington and Jacksonville. Washington and Jacksonville are actually playing pretty well against the run right now.
I'm calling him Bishop Stanky.
He's got Houston this week. If Sean Green's out again, could this be the week for Sankey?
He can't trust it.
Yes, it will be the week. He will get you more than 61 rushing yards.
So would you drop Sankey for Bryce Brown?
He will get you 66 rushing yards.
Would you drop Sankey for Bryce Brown?
If you need the jolt for your team,
10-team league, sure. Absolutely.
12-team league?
Sure.
If you need the help now, sure.
Like, I'm not the biggest Bryce Brown fan, but I'll take that over what we've gotten.
Would you drop him for Denard Robinson?
Yeah.
No. I think Sankey gets six better than Robinson gets six this week.
Jimmy, I don't know if it's just because he was 2-0, but Darren McFadden.
Yeah, I have a list. I should have sent it to you. I'm sorry. There's here. I pulled up. There's four guys that are 60-some-odd percent or higher. It's Pierce, Crowell, McFadden, and McKinnon.
I'd like to call him Cruella DeVille. How do we feel about that?
I think all four of those guys are still worth owning. McKinnon, McFadden being the top two.
I think McFadden's a dirt cheap guy to trade for if you're desperate at running back.
Oh, McKinnon. Yeah, I should have really spoken more about him. He's 74% owned, right?
Yeah, that's another good target.
He'd be the top guy, certainly a 10-team league. But I try to avoid those guys in the call.
Yeah.
Right, because they're obvious. But I'm thinking you could trade for McKinnon and McFadden. Relatively cheap. I think you're going to have to give up more for McKinnon, obviously. I don't think you're going to have to give up a lot for him.
I don't know about that. Why would anybody give him up at this point?
I think they'll give him up for something decent. I don't think they'll give him up for... I don't think you're going to have to trade Emmanuel Sanders to get Jerick McKinnon.
Is McKinnon a potential...
Yes. Stud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
at
like
Tampa Bay this week.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what Mike Zimmer challenged McKinnon, his running backs, to do?
Eat a bowl of crackling oat bran?
No, that would be tougher than what he actually challenged them to do.
What?
He challenged them to get over 3 yards per carry after contact.
Mm.
And Chris Ivory leads the NFL in yards after contact at 2.7 something. So he challenged them to be better than anybody else in the NFL, and McKinnon did it against Buffalo.
That's awesome.
Yeah, before the game, Buffalo didn't allow 100 rush yards to any team's running backs, and McKinnon got over 100 yards last week.
And here comes Tampa Bay.
Drop or stash Zach Stacy.
You could cut him.
Yeah, I put him in the dumpster.
How about the Saints guys? What's up there? What's up there?
They're going to take away from each other. You got a good example.
Ingram's the guy, though.
Yeah, Ingram's the guy.
All right, wide receivers.
They both stink.
They play Detroit. They play Detroit.
They both stink. When are you going to feel confident enough to start either one?
I'd start them this week.
Go ahead.
Wide receivers. Doug Baldwin's number one. Odell Beckham's number two. Beckham's interesting because he hasn't had more than four catches or 44 yards in a game, but three touchdowns in three games, and he's on a bye this week. And then he's got Indianapolis, and then he's at Seattle. So, you know.
Somebody's got to catch passes there, though.
Yeah, and it looks really good. I'm not taking away from him. I just think it's interesting. Davante Adams, number three. Allen Robinson, number four.
I almost put Adams, too. And maybe
only one target last week.
He's doing
but
great.
All he's doing is producing, though. And he's got the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. He barely had a better game than Cordarrelle Patterson.
he's having a better season than Cordarrelle Patterson.
So we go Baldwin, Beckham, Adams, Robinson, LaFell, Dwayne Bowe, Kenny Stills. And we'll stop there. Jamie, your thoughts on the wide receivers this week?
It's not a great group. I think Baldwin, like I said, is the best of the bunch. And he's finally going to play a role that should benefit him, which is what he used to play, which is playing more outside than inside. I'm sorry, I take that back. Excuse me. Playing more inside than outside. He's better suited as a slot receiver than he is an outside receiver. I apologize for that earlier. So this is going to help him a little bit more.
And Dave, what do you think about Odell Beckham?
I think he's still worth speculating on. He's owned in most of my leagues, so I'm not going to be able to get him. I like the fact that he had two red zone touchdowns, very close to the end zone. I believe both were inside the 10. So for a guy who's known for being, you know, super speed, deep threat, take the top off of defense, he also was able to score touchdowns from short range.
How about the rest here? Stills, Curse, Martavis Bryant, Lewis Murphy.
We kind of skipped over Brandon LaFell, and yeah. I know he's not exciting, but he's actually my third favorite name on this list behind Baldwin and Beckham, and I wouldn't be upset if I had him on my bench. Last week was proof that when New England throws, he's on the field a lot. And
he's always on the field.
No, but last week he was on like almost for every single snap. I think that's the first time that's happened this year. It might not be, but it's up there. It's clear that he's going to be a regular part of the New England offense, and I don't mind having guys like that on my fantasy team.
Okay. Andrew Hawkins, still a must-own in PPR leagues?
He finally showed up again.
Yeah, he made up for last week.
Yeah, he only had two targets in week six, but other than that, he's had nine targets or more in every game.
Mm-hmm.
Still no touchdowns, though. Only
he's got Oakland
red
this
targets.
Week and then Tampa Bay after that. So.
Oh, and then the worst defense in football at Cincinnati. Actually, the next four games are awesome for him. Oakland, Tampa Bay, at Cincinnati, and Houston. That's Andrew Hawkins.
Yeah, that's a good guy to go stash or maybe pick up and use as a third receiver in PPR.
Any thought at all to adding Paul Richardson of Seattle?
He's a fun player, but I don't know if he's going to be the guy.
What about Stevie Johnson? Five catches, 79 yards, and a touchdown on seven targets at Denver. He's got a touchdown in three of four games, and Stevie Johnson has two straight games with five catches. You know, earlier it was just like one catch, 9 yards, touchdown. Now he's a little more involved. Also, I have grown really annoyed with Michael Crabtree, especially when his touchdown's called back.
Mm-hmm.
That was Baldwin's fault.
Yeah, I lost fantasy because of that. In my mind.
Did you?
Yeah, one of my leagues. But
did you throw your computer?
No, I was almost fast asleep at that. I was barely hanging on. So
13 targets the last two weeks for Johnson. 10 catches the last 2 weeks, at least five in each game. Seems like he's a regular part of that offense.
Johnson or LaFell?
LaFell.
Johnson or Bo?
Johnson.
Bo.
Because Bo is gross.
Bo's actually played a lot better this season.
He does get St. Louis this week.
And that's part of it.
He hasn't played that well, though.
Comparatively, last year he's played a lot better.
Let's see how Dwayne Bowe's doing, because I always like to check
in. Setting the bar low.
I mean,
he doesn't have a game this year with more than 8 fantasy points.
He doesn't have a touchdown, right?
He doesn't have a touchdown this year.
I think the drop candidates at wide receiver are really what's interesting here. You know, do you drop Reggie Wayne?
Yes.
Yeah, especially in smaller leagues where you might be able to double back for him if you want to. But like I've said all along, he's had one good catch this year fantasy purposes.
He's going to miss two games. And if he plays, he's playing with a bad elbow.
So if he's going to miss two games, should we pick up Akeem Nicks?
No, because Nicks didn't do anything. Moncrief is actually the more intriguing one, I think, at this point.
The tight ends are going to continue to get a ton of use.
How about Keenan Allen? Drop or stash?
I think in a 10-team league, he's cuttable.
Mm-hmm.
I like the targets, though. And this is another team that barely had the ball. He had, like, how many had? 8, 10 targets, something like that. He led the team in targets, I'm pretty sure.
He had a lot, but he's just not productive. And he's not
annoying.
Fast.
Brian Quick.
Bye-bye.
I hate to let him go. I'm definitely not starting Brian Quick this week. Even though, like, the thing about Kansas City's defense is that they don't scare me. There's nothing about them that scares me. And I keep thinking it's a favorable matchup. But it all starts with Quick and the targets, and he just hasn't been getting them. So in a smaller league, yeah, definitely let him go. PPR, deeper leagues, you could probably get away with benching him.
This could come back to haunt me, and I could be making a huge mistake here, but I'm going to go on a short 5-second rant. Why is Cordarrelle Patterson owned in 81% of leagues? What are you people doing? Drop him already!
Jesus.
That's all.
It's hard to say goodbye, Adam. He's got such nice hair.
I scare you, Jamie. I apologize.
Scared our listeners.
Just drop him.
My eardrums just ran away.
Agree or disagree?
To drop him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I've dropped them already.
Been in the column for 3 weeks now. Drop.
All right, tight ends. We've got Vernon Davis and the drop machine, Vernon Davis, and the fumble machine, Larry Donnell, on by this week. Priority list is Owen Daniels, 59% owned.
It's a bad week for tight ends, dude.
Yeah.
Is at Cincinnati this week.
This is a week
Cincinnati
where you should feel good
stinks
about
against
you.
Tight ends.
Yeah. So Owen Daniels is a good one-week fix.
Kobe Fleener. Four catches, 64 yards, and it's been solid.
I think it's kind of funny when your voice gets up there like that.
I do that on purpose. Jared Cook, Charles Clay, Kyle Rudolph.
Oh, this list makes my stomach
Clay
hurt.
Harbor. Jermaine Gresham, 10 catches for 48 yards on 12 targets at the Colts. But at least 6 catches and 10 catches in his last two games. Gavin Escobar scored twice. Cooper Helfitt.
Career high in yardage, too.
Career high. And Cooper Helfitt set a career high in mentions.
Yeah.
And Daniel Fells is on a bye. Jeff Cumberland. Yeah, this is ugly. How good are Owen Daniels and Kobe Fleener rest of the season?
Okay. Not great.
Right. Daniels is probably better of the two.
But think about tight end play right now.
Your first potential draft candidate is Jason Witten.
Gone.
Yeah. I mean, took on a team last week. Not that we liked him last week, because we didn't, but he took on a team in the Giants that he scored on twice in two games. Four touchdowns total last year. Had a big game in three games ago against them. Just isn't what he used to be and isn't going to be involved to the same level. Now, well, maybe that's just the kiss of giving him a big game this week against Washington.
If we said,
because Washington does stink against tight ends.
If we said the Giants were going to give up two tight end touchdowns at the Cowboys and Jason Witten was going to have like 2 points or whatever.
Right. You know, they went to Escobar.
Just tells you.
The worst thing about it was two targets.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't get a lot of targets.
And that was my concern going into last week's game with the Giants because of his history and also how the Giants have fared against tight ends recently. Is Doug Freeze now out? So, hello, Jason Witten, offensive lineman.
Also, I want to give Jason Garrett credit for distributing the carries a little more evenly this week. Only 28 for DeMarco Murray.
Do you know he's 12 away from his season best?
I mean, it's so stupid. He's going to get that in the first quarter.
Probably, but guess what? Dallas is winning games, and he's healthy. He's as healthy as you could ask for at this point.
I believe it was on SportsCenter yesterday that Herman Edwards, who I think was Larry Johnson's coach when he had the career or season record for carries, and he's just yelling, just ride him, just ride him. And it's true. I mean, look, if you're Dallas, you have nothing to lose. He's in a contract year. You run him into the ground.
But they don't need to.
Yes, they do.
No, they could give him 20 carries a game.
They should scale it back when they're winning, but you can't be promoting him for MVP and not wanting him to get carries.
He is the MVP right now, in my opinion.
Not. He is not. He is not. Yeah, let's play.
He's a running back.
Because he doesn't play quarterback. He's a running back. It's a quarterback.
You pick
league.
One here, you get one there. You get one there. That's our Prisco impersonation, Pete Prisco. Hey, let's play a trivia game. How many games this year does Jason Witten have five targets in?
One.
Just five.
One.
Adam says one. Jamie says
two.
Six.
Really?
Five or more targets in six games, including the previous four before this week when he had two.
Dave, it would have been
however,
better.
However, that means absolutely nothing.
It would have been better if you had said, guess how many games Jason Witten's had five targets? Six. Just to continue the not letting us guess game. Okay, here we go. DST streamers this week. The Colts, they're good. At Pittsburgh, they're 59% owned. The Chiefs have St. Louis. The Vikings are at Tampa Bay. What do you think?
I'm not trusting the Vikings. That's for people who are just absolutely desperate.
I would. This
who
week.
Do tight end DST streamers? I almost said tight end streamers. That would be a big mistake.
Do you like the Colts? Top what?
Top six for me.
Top 10.
Chiefs?
Top 12.
I got them 12.
Any noteworthy DSTs to drop? Can you go with the Ravens this week?
Yeah.
I think you should absolutely.
If Green,
go with the
if Green's
Ravens.
Out.
I think even if Green plays, the Ravens are still start-worthy. They just might not finish in the top 10. Still could get in there at 12.
And kicker streamers, Chandler Catanzaro, he's got Philadelphia. That should be a great game. Matt Prater at Atlanta in London.
You know, he's been to London once.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there
a joke?
Yeah, what is it?
There's no joke. I'm just being silly.
Oh, I don't believe you. Cody Parkey at Arizona. So
kickers in the Philadelphia at Arizona game. Thank you for not putting the Bonanza kibosh on that one, by the way. Because that
I was
could
thinking that
be,
one, you could definitely, it's a candidate.
Yeah. Well, which too one? Late. You've already assigned it to Green Bay, New Orleans.
The Arizona-Philadelphia game.
Yeah, could be.
Emails and tweets. First tweet is from Peter Fonseca. I finally tried Cracklin' Oat Brand. I no longer trust Dave with any sort of decision making.
Trust his fantasy.
I don't
advice.
Think it's not no, fair, Dave. It's that. Not a bad cereal.
It's a great
I enjoyed
cereal.
It.
It's
I
fantastic.
It.
And by the way, I've gotten way more Cracklin' Oat Brand is great than I no longer trust Dave with my life tweets.
Here's an email from Blake.
I barely trust myself with my life, by the way.
With Shane Vereen, Brandon Oliver, Andre Williams, and Reggie Bush as my running backs, should I try to get one off waivers? And he's got Ingram, Crowell, Pierce, Starks, Mason, Brown, and others available.
Yeah. I mean, Andre Williams is trash at this point, which hurts me to say, but it is what it is. Mason's out there. Bryce Brown is out there. And then Ingram, Crowell, you'll get one of those four.
All right. So let's put Ingram in there with Bryce Brown and Trey Mason. Would you guys rather have Ingram?
Nope.
Mason for you?
I'd go. Yeah, Ingram probably third.
Mm-hmm. Josh from Honolulu.
I like him better than both this week.
Josh from Honolulu says, "Hey, Richie, Potsy, and Ralph." What is that?
I know exactly what that is.
What's Potsy from?
Oh my God!
What's Richie and Ralph from?
Leave.
I don't know.
Leave.
No. It's fine if Adam doesn't know this.
I'm young, Jamie. 24 years old.
First of all, you have more older taste than anybody in this room. How do you not know Happy Days?
And I'm 30. Oh, that's Happy Days.
I was going to say, do you get the reference when I call Dane Sonsenbacher the Sons?
Yes,
and then I go,
if he had said the Fonz, yes, I would have.
And then I'm going to elbow the jukebox over here.
I grade the trade. 10-team league. Give up Shane Vereen and Jeremy Maclin. Get Jimmy Graham and Keenan Allen. Give up Shane Vereen and Jeremy Maclin. He has Forte.
I think
Ellington.
You're giving up too much.
For Graham and Allen?
Yep.
You're basically trading for Graham.
Is Jimmy Graham the number one tight end in fantasy rest of season?
No.
No.
Why?
He's not healthy.
Maybe he will be.
At some point he will be, but for the time being, we do have Julius Thomas.
And Gronk
Robkowski.
Here's a Cody from Wisconsin email. Not sure why I said it like that. Dear
weird.
George, John, and Thomas. What are those?
Not happy days.
What is it?
George, John, and Thomas.
Those are sad days.
We almost had Beatles there. And then
yeah,
Thomas
that's what
came
I thought
in.
At first, yeah.
Matt Ryan's schedule seems favorable after the bye. I'm hanging on, but without big insurance. Newton or Tannehill as Ryan insurance. Who do you like better?
Tannehill this week.
From Joshua. And where's he from?
Somewhere in Vermont.
I have Ben Tate, Jerick McKinnon, Ahmad Bradshaw, as Joshua puts it.
It's Ahmad.
And Alfred Morris.
That would be Alfred.
And he spelled Jerick McKinnon right, but not Ahmad Bradshaw or Alfred Morris.
Cut him some slack.
Yeah. Okay, I'm gun-shy about starting Ben Tate this week against Oakland. So who would you go with? Pick two, Ben Tate, McKinnon, Bradshaw, and Alf.
Tate, McKinnon.
I like Ahmad Bradshaw.
And finally,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear Bradshaw. I'd go Bradshaw and Tate.
Finally, Ross Sawyer says, is it me or is this season extremely unpredictable in terms of the elite guys? Very few showing to be matchup proof. Hashtag cats. Hashtag TOTD. What does that mean? Oh, tweet of the day. Not quite, but a good tweet nonetheless. So what do you guys think? Unpredictable year with the studs?
It's been an unpredictable year all the way around, but it's been a fun year. That's what matters, because fun is fun.
I bet every year is unpredictable with the
studs. Of course. There's no such thing as a predictable fantasy year or a predictable football year. That would make it boring, actually.
It would, yeah.
Teams are winning because I know exactly what's going to happen each week.
Oh, George, John, and Thomas?
What's that from?
Yeah, those would be presidents. Wow. First three presidents. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
A lot of history buffs in this
room. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I'm surprised you didn't get an NPR.
The guy who created Thomas English Muffins was a president?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I am really bad at history, at presidents. That's one of my weaknesses.
Who's the current president of the United States?
Jeez. I have no idea. Barack, where's he from, Dave? From Washington. All right, we're done here. Now we're just killing time.
Isn't he from Hawaii?
Have a good day.
And
yeah,
then he
is.
Pretends to be from Chicago.
Have a good day, everybody. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.